A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of the congregation, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time, or those who are doing so after a very long while. You're welcome to join us after the service for tea and coffee outside to chat away and just to discuss. And you are welcome to come again. Our worship service is 11 a.m. every Sunday. Welcome. Now our call to worship.
Bravo, God. Bravo. Gods and all angels shout encore. In awe before the glory, in awe before God's visible power. Stand at attention. Dress your best to honour him. God thunders across the waters, brilliant his voice and his face, streaming brightness. God across the floodwaters, God's thunder tympanic, God's thunder symphonic. God's thunder sets the oak trees dancing, a wild dance whirling, the pelting rain strips their branches. We fall to our knees. We call out, glory! Above the floodwaters is God's throne from which his power flows, from which he rules the world. God makes his people strong. God gives his people peace. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
In Deuteronomy we read, "So now Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this, live in his presence with holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him. Serve him, serve God with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today. Live a good life." Let us pray to that expectant God. Let us pray. Loving God, we join together in your house to worship you. We come once more reminded of all you are and all you have done, of the love with which you surround us, the grace you have shown us through Jesus Christ, and the purpose that you have for our lives. We come to offer you our praise, to declare again your mighty acts, to marvel at your greatness, and to commit ourselves to your service. We come to give thanks, to rejoice in all that you have given us, to respond to your goodness, and to offer our love in return. We come to make our confessions, to admit our faults and our failings, to recognize our weakness, and to ask for your forgiveness. We come to pray for ourselves, to seek your guidance, to discover your will, and to find the strength we need to live as your people. Loving God, we come to worship you in the conviction that you are here with us now, that you are by our side always, that you hold all things and all people in your hands. As we reach out to you, reach out to us, we pray, and fill every moment of every day with the light of your love and the peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us that when we are gathered together in your name, we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our next hymn is hymn 674. Hallelujah, we sing your praises.
Morning, children. Good morning. Good morning. How are we today? Good. Have you had a nice week? Okay, what have you been doing this weekend? You've been playing FIFA. Is that a game? Okay. And football. Okay. It's a football game, FIFA. Did you watch some of the matches yesterday? Manchester United was beaten 4-0. That's my team. So sad. Today I want to talk about distractions. What is distraction? Do you know what a distraction is? Yes, Daniel? Like when you get distracted, it's distraction. That's a good answer. Now, have you ever started up doing something and then ended up doing something else? You start off with something and then you end up doing something else. That's not what you wanted to do, but you just found yourself doing something else. Do you have any examples? That's exactly what distraction is. Do you have any examples of when you have wanted to do something, but you found yourself doing something else? Cleaning your room. Okay, that's a very good one. Did you want to clean your room or to do something else and ended up cleaning your room? Oh, okay. You really wanted to make it clean, but finally you could not. What distracted you? The doorbell. Okay, that's a good example. The doorbell can distract you. And so when you went to the doorbell and came back, you did not go back to clean your room, right? No, you were distracted. Any other examples? What about studying? Do you study? And when you sit to study, do you actually take time to study, to read your books or to do your assignment without distractions? Or do you get distracted sometimes in class? Do you? How? Your friends chat to you. Your friends chat to you. That's a very easy one. I think all of us have been through that. When you are sitting in class, you want to concentrate and other friends are trying to talk to you. Now, when we come to Christ and when we come to church, we are coming here to study the Word of God, to pray, and to ask God to help us in the things that we do. And as we grow, you see, we don't have many young people in this church. Many things start coming to us, distractions. And even now, sometimes you may get out of bed in the morning and say, Mom, I'm not going to church today. I want to sleep just a little bit more. That's distraction, isn't it? Because instead of coming to church, you've decided to stay at home. Also, again, we've talked about your studies. Maybe you need to do your assignment. Instead of doing your assignment, you decide to watch the TV. That's a distraction, isn't it? So we've got to be focused. And for us to be focused, we need to be determined to do the things that are right. And one way to be focused about God and the church is to pray. To find time always to pray every day. Praying that God should bless us. Praying that God should help us to achieve our aims, to do well in school, to concentrate on the things that are good, to be good children, and pray especially that we would not be distracted. So as we continue to come to church, there are many things that can distract us and prevent us from coming. We must fight against them. Sometimes there may be friends who don't come to church and they ask you, must you go to church? That can be a distraction. But you have to say, yes, I have to go to church because we are God's children and we want to learn from God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this morning and we thank you for our children. What a blessing they are to us. We pray, O God, that as we worship together with them and as they grow in the faith, help them, O Father, to be focused, to be committed, and to continue, O Father, to rely and put their trust in you. May they never wander away from your ways. Help us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is The Deer Pants for the Water.
Thank you. First reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 25 to 40. Idolatry forbidden. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. The Lord is God. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose your descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into the land, to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that they may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 23. The supremacy of Christ. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. The next hymn is number 547, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Once you were far away from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. All of us at some point in our lives have been distracted and have followed another path from that which we actually wanted to. And I begin with a short story about a man who bought a new hunting dog, and eager to see how he would perform, he took him out to track a bear. A few minutes after they got into the woods, the dog picked up the trail. Suddenly he stopped, sniffed the ground, and headed in a new direction. He had caught the scent of a deer that had crossed the bear's path. A few moments later, he halted again, this time smelling a rabbit that had crossed the path of the deer. And so on and on it went, until finally the breathless hunter caught up with his dog, only to find him barking triumphantly down the hole of a field mouse. They had started out trying to track a bear, but that dog ended up celebrating about a mouse. Dear friends, sometimes Christians are like that. We start out with high resolve, keeping Christ first in our lives, but soon our attention is divided or diverted to things of lesser importance. One pursuit leads to another, until we have strayed far from our original purpose. Paul says to the Colossians, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And nowhere is our alienation from God more evident than in our thinking, and especially in our thinking about God. For ever since the fall, when our first parents ate of the tree of knowledge, the human mind has been susceptible to error. Satan knows this and always goes after the mind to distract us from our path to glory. That is why the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Dear Christian friends, our mental separation or detachment from God is evident in our world in many ways. Think of the countless false religions that flourish around the world. Or think of how easy or easier it is to remember a vulgar or salacious story than it is to memorize a passage of scripture. Or how easy it is to conjure up impure fantasies and to deceive people. That is how Satan operates. He deceives people by playing with their minds. And once Satan succeeds to lodge an idea in the head, it is hard, if not impossible, to get it out again. And often Satan takes his time to poison our thoughts with the evils of life and to dissuade us. Philip Zimbardo makes much of the manipulation of the mind. He writes that the most dramatic instances of direct behavior change and mind control are not the consequences of exotic forms of influence such as hypnosis, psychotropic drugs, or brainwashing, but rather the systematic manipulation of the most mundane aspects of human nature over time in confining settings. We were mentally alienated from God. And Paul goes on to say that we were morally alienated. Alienated by wicked works. Because sin or wickedness is the most destructive force in the universe. It debases us and ruins our lives. I read not long ago about the bitter end of sin, a story of Mel Trotter, the famous rescue mission worker in the USA. I'm sure I used this story as an illustration in one of my Lenten reflections this year. Mel Trotter was the son of a bartender who drank as much as he served. Trotter followed his father's footsteps, losing job after job because of his addiction to drinking and gambling. Each time he lost a job, he promised to reform and start doing better, but each time he failed. After the death of his baby son, Trotter made his way to Chicago, where he intended to drown himself in Lake Michigan. He had sold his shoes to get money for another drink and was walking barefoot through the snow towards his death when he went inside the Pacific Garden Mission and was saved. For the next 40 years, Trotter did everything he could to help those like himself who had fallen prey to the deceptively alluring temptations of sin. Beloved in the Lord, Satan's advertising is never realistic. He paints beautiful pictures of immediate pleasure, ignoring the real consequences that its participants must endure. If the beer companies ran ads filled with crashed cars, paralyzed drinkers, and the tiny caskets of babies killed by drunk drivers, it would not help them sell their product. So they focus on the beginning rather than the ending. But no matter how beautiful the temptation appears, it is only a cloak for the reality that sin always ends in pain and heartbreak and judgment. For as the Apostle James said in James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That is how we were, and that is how we are most of the time, living in the bondage of mental and moral sin towards destruction. But thank God for that desperate position of verse 21 in our text. We have been rescued, and now we enjoy peace with God. Through Christ's death, we stand in God's presence, holy and blameless and irreproachable. That is the meaning of our reconciliation. And reconciliation is something God has achieved through Christ once and for all. We have no part in that achievement but to accept and be thankful. Dear Christian friends, what a change of position. Can anything be remotely comparable to this transference from darkness to light? But there is something that must go along this change of position, and that is the change of heart. Because while Satan deals with the mind, God deals with the heart. A reconciled person is a new person. Now he or she who loves the Lord comes to hate evil and wickedness and to love good. One of the secrets to finding meaning in this life that satisfies the soul is to understand what God means about having Christ dwell in our hearts. To dwell means to give Christ full permission to take up full residence by his Spirit in our spiritual heart, and so to set our lives in order. When Christ dwells in our heart, we will become stable Christians and well-founded in the truth. We will be content with the gospel that first saved and delivered us from spiritual death and estrangement with God, and brought us straight away to live in his presence at peace with him. We will fight against mental and moral enslavement and build a church that is worthy of the standards and values of the kingdom of God. God, help us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word that has come to us, and confess for times when we have wandered from your ways, and for times, O Father, when we have not been focused to do what is right and pleasing in your sight. But we thank you most especially for the reconciliation in Christ Jesus, which has freed us from our sin and our bondage. Grant that we may be stable Christians, well-founded in the truth of Jesus Christ, and that we may not waver from the faith that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
We come firstly to our prayers of dedication. Let us pray. Living God, you have poured out your blessings upon us day after day. You have filled our lives with good things so that they overflow with plenty. You have met our needs and more than our needs, giving us a world of infinite variety and pleasure. Receive now these our gifts. Receive our worship of voice and mind. Receive your portion of our worldly wealth. Receive our faith, for we bring them to you as a small but simple way of saying thank you for all that you have done in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We come to pray for others and for ourselves. In this prayer, I have a response. If you're comfortable when I say, Lord, in your mercy, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Living God, we pray for those who face the future with uncertainty or anxiety. Those who fear it, those who despair of it, those who feel they have no future. We pray for those in the troubled world, places of our world, those who long for peace, for an end to conflict and a time of harmony, but who in their hearts have given up hope. Grant that they may see a vision of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who face trauma and upheaval in their lives. What seemed secure swept from under them. What they had hoped for denied them. What they had trusted in proven false. We pray for those who doubt their ability to cope with what life may bring. Those overwhelmed by pressures, those paralyzed by fears, those crushed by sorrows. Grant that they may see a vision of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those faced with difficult decisions, those coping with circumstances beyond their control, those facing dangers, expected and unexpected, those forced into making difficult choices. Living God, reach out to all for whom the future seems uncertain or unwelcome, and bring the assurance that even in the darkest moments, the greatest challenges, the most worrying times, you are there, working out your purpose, able to bring light out of darkness, hope out of despair, joy out of sorrow, and good out of evil. Grant that they may see a vision of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Fill us, we pray, with the confidence that there is nothing in heaven or earth, in life or death, in the present or in the future, that is able to separate us from your love. Grant us the patience, strengthen our hope, bless our preparation as we keep in our hearts your promise of life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask this prayer in the strong but gentle name of your Son. Amen.
If you are able, please rise and together we will affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Final hymn 167. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.